The Minnesota Rundown, presented by 10,000 Takes.
Welcome back to another episode of the Minnesota Rundown, presented by 10,000 Takes. I am, of course, your glorious host, JJ Journalist Jake, for another episode here. And I want to welcome on both of our fantastic guests for this week's Rundown episode. We have Alex Micheletti joining us for the second time on the Rundown. So this is the second time joining us, and he's in studio for the second time. Of course, if you don't know who he is the son of former Gopher, former North Star, Pat Micheletti. You know a lot about sports. You went to Minnesota State. I apologize for your loss. I'm sorry for your loss.
It was a tough one.
Literally.
Tough weekend.
In the Frozen Four, but definitely come from a big sports family. You're a fan of 10,000 Takes, and we love your insight on all things happening Minnesota sports. So what's going on? First of all, I want to thank you again for coming in and joining us.
Yeah, no problem. I love being here, and ready to do another Rundown. So let's do it.
Let's go right into it. I also want to welcome on Mr. Jack Kiewicz. I think this is your
second time on.
Yep. One of our fantastic bloggers here at 10,000 Takes and content contributor, posts some funny ass blogs. And I think you did win that last episode that you were on with between you and Coleman 10K. So I think according to the polls, we can go back. I think you can listen to the next episode after to confirm that. But I think you did win. So, and I think Alex, I think the last time you were on, you were actually up against Boss Man. And at that point, I don't think we weren't doing the poll system.
Correct.
On Twitter yet. So we're more accurate now. It was a moral victory. I think I did decide that you, or no, wait, I think I was judging that. I think I
you
gave
were.
It to Boss Man.
Yes, you did. Yeah.
So Alex, you technically are on one. I apologize. That was my fault. But we're going to bring it back to the viewers and of course the poll. And just a reminder, guys, at the end of this episode, go on our Twitter and you should, any post related to this week's Minnesota Rundown episode, you will see a poll for this week's episode between where you could either select either Alex or Jack. If you feel compelled to do so and you want to vote and you felt someone had better arguments or better points or just had it overall was the funniest one. I don't know. Whatever you want to vote for, you can vote on that poll. But I think last week we had Boss Man and I'm blanking who else we had on last week. Boss Man and Matt Jeffer. Matt Jeffer also at He's Not That Good on Twitter and TikTok. I think Boss Man did win that 53% to 47%. So it was close. It was close. These polls get a little close. It's get a little fun. But of course, you don't have to vote if you don't want to. We're just here for fun. We're here to debate some fantastic topics happening really around Minnesota sports and beyond with whatever's pertinent, whatever's relevant. We're going to get all of our takes here because, that's what we are. We're 10,000 takes. So we want to get everything. But guys, again, vote if you want to. But at the end of this episode, but let's get right into it. We're going to talk about approximately four or so hot topics really happening in Minnesota sports right now. So let's jump right into it. The first topic and first question is Alex Rodriguez has definitely been in the news lately, kind of, I would say maybe a little unexpectedly, but he has been rumors are circulating and it's more than likely true that he is going to be purchasing the Minnesota Timberwolves and become the new owner of the Timberwolves. And it has been confirmed by him, at least, or sources saying he's probably not going to move the team, but because it is a little odd, a guy who played for the Yankees, played baseball, and he's going to come in and swoop in and take over own the Timberwolves, I should say. So it is a little weird, but I guess I want to ask you both, I mean, what is your take on that? And should J-Lo be a part of the deal? Alex, what do you think? I'll let you go first.
I think it's exciting. We can finally move on from Glenn Taylor. He just run the team down into the ground. I mean, from the top to the bottom, it's just been poorly run. And it'll be exciting to get some new fresh blood in to the Twin Cities. Hopefully they keep it here. I mean, Minnesota is a sneaky good basketball state along with hockey. I mean, the talent that's coming out of Minnesota is incredible. And so, hopefully they can draw in some free agents. That's been their major struggle is to get, free agents to come to the Timberwolves. So maybe having A-Rod as an owner will help draw some key free agents to come in. Who knows with J-Lo? There's been rumors of A-Rod cheating on her. So who knows if she's going to be around, but if she is, she has a ton of money too. So she's involved with A-Rod. And so, hopefully hopefully with new ownership, you know, can get them back into the playoffs. Because when there was playoff basketball here, when Jimmy was here, it was so exciting for downtown Minneapolis. So hopefully they can get back to the playoffs and create some more excitement for the Timberwolves.
I absolutely love this move. I think it's great. I talked about it last time I was here on the rundown.
Relevant to like the, well, I think,
well, it was last
relevant
time,
to the coaching.
Yeah, the coaching firm, but also I also said Glenn Taylor, we should get rid of him. Mm-hmm. So I'm excited. I think it's good that Taylor is, he signed that, 30-day contract with A-Rod and his partner for exclusive negotiating rights. I think it's great. I think it's going to be an excellent move. If you think they're going to be picking up and moving to Seattle or Vegas, or wherever, I just highly doubt that. Nope. Think of the economics behind it, right? What's an expansion fee for an NBA team? Like $2 billion nowadays? It's nuts. There's no way the owners would ever allow the Wolves to be moved when they know they can make a ton of money both with the Wolves if they get better with right owners, which I think A-Rod and J-Lo are, and then also with the expansion fees out west. I think J-Lo is a great move. She's a queen. She's iconic. Look at her halftime show. Look at what she's done. I think she's great. Apparently, she's already doing bits on KFan. Apparently, that may be a bit in and of itself, but it's star power, and Minnesota needs star power. Now, granted, you know, I agree with Atmosphere and Seish where they say, oh, you know, well, we like it where we don't have a ton of celebrities and whatnot. But at the same time, sometimes you need a little bit to get the juices flowing, and this is perfect for the Timberwolves.
Yeah, I just think it's... when I saw that, I'm like, this has got to be a joke.
But imagine being at a Wolves game and like seeing A-Rod and J-Lo courtside.
But the thing is, that let alone right there might draw people in.
Exactly.
Just
how cool is it?
There's a chance they could see J-Lo and Alex Rodriguez. More so probably J-Lo.
Oh,
well,
yeah.
I mean, A-Rod too. But it's just funny because...
A-Rod still has abs.
Does he?
Yeah.
Do you know that?
Well, he was roided up for as long as he was.
Oh,
but
yeah, exactly. I mean, I
still probably is. Let's be honest.
Smash fucking home runs like no tomorrow. But especially on the Twins. So it's kind of funny. It's just kind of ironic to me that he's coming back. He's coming to Minnesota to maybe save a franchise. Mm-hmm. I mean, to whatever extent an owner actually has, you know, power to actually quote unquote save a franchise. Yeah. But he's coming back to Minneapolis where Minnesota Twins fans were just completely terrorized by him for years on the Yankees. So it's just kind of funny.
Yeah. I think Minnesotans can forgive and forget. We've seen that with, you know, the likes of Brett Favre and such. You know, if you bring good into the community, we're not really going to care where your past was, per se. Same thing if Aaron Rodgers was to become a Viking. I'm sure we'd all end up forgiving him to some extent if you're a Viking fan listening to this. As for J-Lo and A-Rod, though, I also don't think... They wouldn't be going into this if they knew they couldn't make money.
Right.
And especially now that we kind of know that they're not going to move, at least I highly doubt that they're going to move, this is huge. I mean, the fact that they're willing to make money, now granted that comes from tickets, advertising, all these ancillary items, but it'll be interesting, as you said, Alex, to bring in these free agents, get some bigger, younger stars to come in here and maybe actually play some halfway decent basketball instead of this half-ass BS we're seeing on the court every day in and day out.
Well, I think they say, too, like, nope, in the NBA, like, we struggle to get all these top players because no one wants to come to Minnesota, blah, 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 blah. But maybe he is that X factor. Like, well, don't you want to go to Miami? It's warm there. Well, they have A-Rod and J-Lo.
Yeah.
So maybe this will just be the dual package, or they have a chance.
Well, they're not moving up here either, though, you know.
No way.
Yeah, right. But I mean, they're
not even. They're probably just not even going to own a home here. I mean, maybe they would a condo or something.
Small condo during the season, or if that, they're just flying
just
back
and forth
from Florida, like commuting every day. That's what players are probably doing in Minnesota. But yeah, dude, it's just that story just shocked the hell out of me. I'm like, but I totally forgot and put it on the back burner. Like I thought someone had bought the Wolves, and I just forgot about it. I know the KG thing fell through, but I'm like, oh, whatever. Someone bought it and I don't remember, or it's some small group or some stupid thing like that. And then I just see A-Rod come up in the news. I'm like, this is just we in the Twilight Zone right now. But I mean, I guess it makes sense.
Yeah, I think it's interesting because Minnesotans, especially Timberwolves fans, seem so just entrenched in this idea that KG has to own the Wolves in some extent. Like, he's such a focal point of this franchise, which I get. He is the best player in the history of the franchise. He should be the only retired number, etc., you know, maybe besides Kevin Love. But Malik Sealy, right? Yes. Yeah, he's retired number two. So, you know, you should have one more up in the rafters. But besides the point, with KG, I think A-Rod, in comparison, has shown way more business acumen than KG has ever shown in any regard.
The good thing about this, too, is the co-owner that's going in with him is...
Oh, huge business person.
From Walmart. Yep. His company was purchased by Walmart.
Yeah.
So he
became a VP with them. Yes. Yeah.
So he is... I think he's the guy with the actual money that's going to be in charge of, you know, signing, you know, these huge deals with players and hopefully with sponsorships and just create more excitement. And A-Rod can kind of be in the background or kind of like a figurehead.
He's a face.
Sure. Yeah, sure. Face. But even then, it seems like A-Rod has gotten in on the right ventures actually been putting himself out there to do these things. Yep. To join these venture capitalists and whatnot, compared to KG, where I haven't heard squat about what he's investing in. I mean, what's he doing? What does he know?
I don't know.
You know, here.
Just all of a sudden have to be a part owner? You know, what is he going to do to this franchise? I mean, is he really going to bring in anybody? Is A-Rod? We don't know.
Right.
I don't know. I think the A-Rod move is great. Yeah, I enjoy it.
I like you said, like A-Rod has been getting in the right things. Mm-hmm. I mean, he got in right with J-Lo. So, yeah, he's definitely did that right. So let's see, hopefully, if we'll see if he can keep the Wolves looking good. Get them good, I should say.
We can still go back to the soybean option or the tequila option.
Yeah, the soybean. Yeah,
the soybean option from last time. Yeah.
That's still
an option. It's still on the table.
Go back to the last podcast. Look up the past podcast. Go to the last one where you see Jack Kiewicz in the title. We had a whole thing about how we could just make them a whole soybean farming.
That can work too. Still.
It would produce more money for the state than the damn Timberwolves. But we'll see what happens with A-Rod. See how that turns out. And that's crazy. Crazy thing in Minnesota right now and rest of the country. I think, quite frankly, is like, you're buying the Wolves? What?
People forget we're a state sometimes.
Yeah, they're like, the Timberwolves
flyover country,
like a team. That team still exists. Hey, Rob, what are you doing? I know what I'm doing. I'm going in with the guy from like Walmart. So we're gonna be good. But we'll see how that pans out. I think that's interesting.
I have $400 million in the bank.
Yeah, it's just like
it's all been reinvested into Dogecoin.
Yeah, it's just
which hit what 9.99 cents today? Something a super high.
Oh. It hit 99
Elon
cents.
No, not 99 cents. It hit
Elon's
9
pumped.
Cents. It
oh,
was
9
great.
Cents. Okay.
That's big.
I was going
to
say it
That's
hit 9
to the moon.
Cents.
To the moon, baby.
Dogecoin's still
Dogecoin
going to the moon.
Moon.
That's still a trend. It's kind of hit the back burner, but it's still up there. We're still going to take it to the moon. 10K to the moon, actually, before Dogecoin. But we're not openly investing or we're not a public company yet, so we can't do that shit yet. But we'll see what happens in the future.
You can always donate.
Yeah, you can always donate. I mean... That's and we'll just call you an investor. I mean, you can get like...
It's like Patreon.
Buy merch.
Or the Green Bay Packers.
Well,
I mean...
If we do have merch.
Yeah. We do actually have merch. We sold out we sold out of all the Soviet Savior shirts. Man, that was like a...
Say that 10 times fast.
Yeah. Soviet Savior shirts are all gone. But no, we do have merch. But if you do want to donate some money, we can just give you a piece of paper saying you're an investor like the Packers, and there you go.
Or if you want to pay off my $30,000 in student loans, I am open.
Yeah.
My Venmo is Jack-Kiewicz.
Yeah.
Do with that what you will.
We'll see. I'm curious to see how much money you get in the next week.
I'll probably be requested money.
That's what's going to happen.
People will request money
and
from
me.
You're
going to get a shit ton of those requests.
Yeah.
It's going to burn you.
Cut it.
Yep.
It's like, now I can...
I'm going to be like, God, I got to change my Venmo now.
This sucks.
Doxed myself there for a second.
Yeah, you just screwed yourself, man. But speaking of another Minnesota team, moving on with the Minnesota Twins, who just opened up their season here in the last couple weeks, and they've been kind of shitting the bed. They had a brutal series against Seattle this past weekend in their first home game back in front of fans for like over a year. I mean,
I was at the last Twins game in spring training before they shut down.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah. They didn't have fans since mid-March
of
last year down in Fort Myers.
Yeah. The Target Field, let alone almost 2 years, right? Probably two years.
Yep. Well, since 2019, the last playoff game.
Strange
2019,
times.
So literally almost 2 years. And they won the first game on Friday against Seattle. Then they had a kind of horrendous showing on Saturday. Then Sunday came along, and they have a 6-0 lead. Mm. Oh, this game's going great. And then they bring in Colome or whatever. Rocco Baldelli is looking at his stats or some shit, and then we lose the game like 8-6. And then even as the day we're recording this, on Tuesday. This obviously would be released on Wednesday, but the Twins, I think they had a 2-0 lead into the fifth, blew that, and then they ended up losing 4-2 against the Red Sox. So, I mean, just in the string of the string of the last week or so of games, or going back to this series against Seattle, I mean, what the hell is going on? I mean, and do you see this as like a, I mean, is this a sign of, for bad things to come with this team? Is this team even gonna, are they gonna keep it this trajectory? Are they gonna not even make the playoffs? Or, I mean, it's too early to, or is it too early to call? I mean, what the hell is going on here?
I think it's too early. I mean, it's again, it's 162 game season this year. It's extremely frustrating
because
I like Rocco. I've been in the pressers last year. I got lucky enough to be in at one of the games as a credentialed media member, which was a great experience. But Rocco, as much as he is for the team, for the guys, which I think is important, he still comes off as this kind of like, they're very secretive about everything and how they go about everything within the organization, which is fine. Again, mm-hmm. It's their organization, but it does affect us as members of the public, right, who absorb, right, this media, absorb this information to then go and do this kind of fun shit that we do. And how many people really care about it? A lot. Millions of you.
And millions.
But I think it's early. I do think it's an issue that he's going with Colome as much as he is. Rocco is. We're 1-3 when they throw him out there. Now, today, prior to this Red Sox series, which was supposed to have started yesterday, but was postponed due to the issues up in Brooklyn Center, we should have been 9-0. So I think, I know you said earlier before we started recording, you don't like the extra innings rule.
Yeah, I think it's second. Bullshit.
I think you're getting screwed out with that. I don't think it's necessarily being screwed. I think it's just...
It's too gimmicky.
Gimmicky. You're running into an unfortunate event where, you just lose. It happens. I mean, it's these extra inning games, and even if you're losing the ones in regular innings and regulation, they're still doing really well. Mm-hmm. I think they're fine. They need to get the offense clicking a little bit more in the later innings, not building these leads and then just trying to sit on it with their bullpen. I think that's the move they need to be going for right now.
Yeah. So,
instead of just relying on four arms.
So we have there's some really good things, and then we have some really bad things. So we'll start with the good. Byron Buxton is playing at an MVP level.
Young Buck MVP Buck. Season, baby.
Well, I mean, almost batting .500. It's absolutely incredible. Nelson Cruz at 40 years old is hitting bombs. I mean, so that is amazing. The defense has been great too. I mean, having Simmons be at shortstop now has helped the defense. Now the bad stuff, Colome has been awful. Randy Dobnik has been awful since he got his contract.
Yeah, gave up five runs last game and then two runs today.
I mean, his ERA is close to 10, which you can't have.
It was 15 coming into the day. That was nuts.
It's really bad.
But it's one appearance.
Yeah. We have two rock star starting pitchers. I mean, Berrios and Kenta Maeda are amazing.
I'd say Pineda's serviceable.
Yeah, he can be. He's hit or miss. Yeah. I think Jay Happ.
He was good today.
Yeah, he was good. He kind of. I mean, once he gets to 4 or 5 innings, then it kind of falters.
They're older.
He's an old man. He's almost like a dad.
That's why you have a good bullpen.
Yeah.
That's why you have a guy like Randy who should be good and was good to start the year for that brief little stint. I mean, again, we're only 10 games in right now. I mean, it's 16th of the way through the season.
So,
but
I mean, if you look at our division, I mean, it's going to be pretty much a two-horse race. Kansas City's bad. Detroit is awful.
Cleveland will fall off.
They have the pitching, but they have no bats. No. I mean, they have some of the best pitching probably in the division.
But they could hang around just because of Cleveland because of Detroit and KC.
Exactly. So, yeah, I mean, it's going to be a fun summer. I hope we crush the White Sox. It's always nice to see when the White Sox lose to they have a former Twin in Liam Hendricks, who's their closer. So anytime when you see him blow a save, it's fun too. And
poor White Sox.
Oh man, that's a franchise that they have. The Cubs won a World Series a couple of years ago, so they still have that hanging, in the same city. And the Cubs
won
in
2005,
the Astros, right?
I mean, we haven't won since '91.
No,
so, I mean,
but we've won the division more than they have.
Sure. We've been more successful than they have at least
in the
last
season.
10 years. Yeah. In a regular season, I should say.
Owned them in the Metrodome. I mean, we just crushed
them. We owned
them.
Almost everyone in the Dome, though.
Yeah, I think after that, I remember some of my you know, favorite memories were the last actually couple years at the Dome. The Dome sucked in itself, but
it was our shitty hole. It was our shitty hole.
Yeah. It was our place.
It got Joe Maurer's contract. I mean,
10,000 take, our shitty hole.
It's a 10,000 take. It's Make a t-shirt out of it. Shitty hole, and it's just,
yeah.
Like,
and it's just a picture of the Metrodome.
Metrodome, our shitty hole.
Well, it looks like a toilet anyway, right?
Yeah,
right.
Dude, seriously. So it's just, but it was ours. It was our home.
It was our home.
Well, we had no choice, actually. If we wanted to go watch live baseball, we had to go into the Dome, but no, I was saying, like, I just remember some games, and like when I was like 13, 14, around 2008, 2009, you know, almost 2010, obviously, when Target Field opened. But I remember just going to, that was around the time when the Twins were all, they always seemed to be competing with the White Sox. Mm-hmm. And that was like 3 years for the division. I would always go to like the last home series against the White Sox in like September, like the Friday night or the Friday, even like the Friday and Saturday with like my dad. It was just so fucking exciting in there. I mean,
they should have won. I mean, they would have, they were the better team in 08 when they lost to the 163 in Chicago. I mean, they got the record didn't show it, but dude. I mean, the only run scored was Tommy's home run, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was home like 1-0
to right center. Yeah.
Jeez.
Tommy was electric. Yeah.
And then he came here, and then he came
here
to
for
Twins.
2 years. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I still remember.
I was at the game where he hit the flagpole. Yeah, I was in that section. I was in the section. Yeah. I was the, if you go back on the replay and you see these yellow ponchos jumping up and down because it was raining, that was me and my sister. And we're like 14, 15. Really? Yeah. And this guy elbowed this chick because the home run, you know, it's on his way to 600. So every ball that was being collected in the field, you got to go and meet him. So it hits off the flag post into the overhang, the middle section of the overhang. And this guy, it's like down the row from us, probably like that far away. If you're not in the room, probably up 10 feet away. Guy like elbows the woman in the face to get the ball. And she like has a bloody nose, and he gets to go and meet Tommy, and she's just sitting there bleeding. And I'm like, oh my God.
Well, I get to meet Jim Tomey.
Yeah.
So
she, this poor woman is sitting there with a broken nose.
Dude, that was, I still remember that game. That was incredible. I just see the ball blast and just ping right off that flagpole. I'm like
6-5 against KC.
I mean,
August 4th, 2010.
I remember, dude, that was a fun game. And I remember I remember saying like, I kind of wish that didn't hit the flagpole in the sense of like, I want to see that ball keep going. Like that ball was just crushed. Jim Tomey was fun to watch for 2 years. It was just fun seeing him be a divisional rival and then him coming over here. Remember when we got the other White Sox dude who was a big rival and he's supposed to be, and then he just literally got injured and fizzled out here. Joe Creedy.
Yes, the third baseman. Yep.
Yeah,
Joe
he was Creedy. Supposed to be great.
2008, 2009. Yes.
And then all of a sudden he just got injured and just boom, he's done. That was, I'm like, he was hyped up and I get it. He was good with the White Sox. And then we brought him in like, oh yeah, he's turning sides and then he just gets injured. It's like Donaldson. It's like, damn. I mean, obviously he wasn't as good as a Donaldson like player, but like, it was like, okay, we get this top guy and he gets injured right away. It's just reminds me of what we're going through today with Josh Donaldson, which I'm hoping if he does come back, I'm going to be scared. Like, I think they're saying the day this is released, Wednesday, I think they're saying there's a possibility he could come back this week, potentially in the doubleheader against Boston. So we might know by the time you're listening to this, but I'm going to be so scared watching him when he comes back up to the plate or whatever, like almost like
I'll be there tomorrow.
Like don't touch him. You're going to be at the game.
I'll be two rows up from third baseline. So we can just, I'll take some photos for you.
Take some photos and don't touch him. Don't touch Josh. Or don't try to
throw with COVID anyway.
Yeah. Don't even try to throw a sunflower.
We just want to see him get in the field. I mean, he didn't make it to the field.
I know.
Yeah.
Well, he appeared to be doing well in St. Paul earlier this week.
Really?
Oh, had a home run, had 6 hits and a few at bats or something like that.
Really? Oh, yeah. he played with the Saints this week? Or
he was at least doing
inner,
so,
like,
he was doing
inner, okay.
Yeah,
inner squad
because yeah,
like,
they're not doing a lot of.
I was going to say, I don't think their season started, right? The Saints? Or are they not even playing?
No.
Or?
No, it's
they're
like,
playing, but they haven't.
It's like a taxi
yet.
Squad that they have in St. Paul that, you know.
It's like what they did last year.
Yeah, so.
Oh, okay.
So. Again, but they're worried about the weather too, and if it's too cold for him too, with his hamstrings.
Him a lot of money,
yeah, it, well, this is
play.
Baseball yeah, for you. It's the obscure stats. It's like he can only play on certain days when it's 75 degrees with a 2-mile-an-hour wind blowing from the southeast.
Get him in. We need him in the lineup.
Yeah, and there's like 9,800 fans specific. You know, yeah, he can only play under certain. conditions.
Yeah. Certain conditions.
Yep. They have to be ideal for him.
Or he's just going to be out with a non-COVID related illness. That's what they'll stamp
like
it on.
Like Nelson Cruz.
Yeah. What does that mean?
Nap time.
Probably.
I mean, they're just saying
he ran out of steroids.
Just say he needs rest or a day off. Like, this isn't the NHL, for God's sakes. Don't tell
us. Upper body, lower body.
Yeah. But even, I guess it's funny because I'm one of the guys who says, as much as I want Cruz to succeed here, and he has been with us over the last 3 years and this year so far, the issue with him is I just didn't think he was worth $13 million plus whatever they're paying all of his support staff they brought on at 41. Now, I may be proven wrong, but also at the same time, are they trying to play this game of being secretive and, oh, is he out because of it's COVID, or is it actually just nap time and he needs rest? What kind of backlash are they going to get from us, the fans?
Yeah.
Because we're always going to find something to bitch about.
Yeah. I think, well, we love to bitch here in Minnesota.
Of course.
I mean,
passive aggressively, of course.
We have a lot of people.
Roller coaster with our sports teams. Yeah. It's so many highs and the lows are.
it's like this wild season.
Oh, yeah.
It's just up and down.
It's just, well, speaking of the Wild, that's a good segue into the next question to get away from the Twins a little bit. The trade deadline was on Monday of this week.
Mm-hmm.
And I think this is probably even like the, I mean, if I can remember correctly, I mean, well, first off, the Wild were one of three teams, I think, in the league that did not make any trades.
Correct.
Or anything like that.
Yep.
But to my memory, I think this has got to be the first year in at least 10 years or so that they have not made a move on trade deadline. And they've made some terrible moves in the last 5 years, 6 years, back to like the David Jones bullshit and trading for Chris Stewart, which I'm glad for get Chris Stewart, but for a first rounder in like what 2016 it was, 2017. What is that? But you know what? I don't know. I mean, what are you guys' thoughts? Was this smart to not make a move or stupid? Do they miss on some players? I mean, it's the last month of the season. Should they have taken advantage of somebody? I know they mentioned to get Nick Foligno to.
Yeah, I think what Billy G did was phenomenal. I mean, we have two first round picks that we should always keep, you know, especially when, I mean, we don't know if they're going to be, you know, Stanley Cup, you know, champs. So, right. I mean, the prices for guys
not expected to be.
No. And some of the guys that got traded, I mean, Nick Foligno, he's almost 34. He's not worth, you know, giving up a first round pick. And he's going to be a free agent in the summer.
They would have just been doing it for the sake of
it's a rental.
Bringing him, for the most part. You know, mm-hmm. getting him to reunite him with Marcus Foligno, brothers. It would have been great. That would have been great camaraderie and great stuff.
Great for the family.
Exactly.
But I know they always talk about that when they play.
In the end, it's just it wouldn't help the team at all.
No.
I agree. I think Billy is. We've seen Billy make great moves. We've seen Billy G make great moves. We've lauded him for all the right reasons. And I think he's smart. And again, this team was not expected to be this good this year, even with the lumps that they've taken, like the 9-1 loss to the Blues, which it sucks. It happens.
But
they've been playing well. They've been overplaying what we anticipated them to do. Granted, we kind of anticipated them to be around the 4 seed.
Well, it's amazing what they're doing with no centers at all, no center depth. So that's going to be interesting come playoff time.
And that was the only thing they were going to be bolstering,
right?
Is center depth.
Right. And that's, I mean, you saw, I mean, a guy that I thought would have been worth it is Jeff Carter. But, you know, I mean, a West Coast team probably most of the times doesn't want to trade it to another West Coast team that's still, the Kings are still right there within
the
playoff.
Yeah, well, even with the divisions being the way they
are,
it's still conference, even though you're not playing as much.
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, you go with what you have, you know, as long as everybody stays healthy now. I mean,
focus on the offseason.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
See where you go in the playoffs.
You're going to pick up Marco Rossi. He's going to be healthy. So that'll be a center. And then you go, go find another center in free agency. And we'll see, you know, maybe draft a couple centers in the first round in the draft here. And let's roll.
Well, it's a different approach. Like I said, I mentioned, I don't remember the last time they had a trade deadline where they didn't make a move. Like,
it's a weird year too, though.
You only have
less than what, 15 games left in the season or something
that.
Right.
It's a small.
Yeah.
Why?
Usually it's
why
in February when you have you know almost
why make
2 months
right now.
Exactly.
I'd say just wait on it. Play the long game for next year and build this team up for the future.
Exactly. And I'm
it's
all
young.
Personally, I'm all for it. Like you I wish the Wild and Chuck Fletcher did this during the few of their years where they actually had a chance in the playoffs, but they made these big ass moves to say, "Oh, this is gonna bolt. We're gonna trade top two picks for for, who was it, Ryan White and that other guy from Arizona at the time. I'm totally, I'm blanking on his name. But we got that Ryan White guy and that other dude. And being well, that and I can't remember his
pay,
name,
and then you saw it pay off in a bad way in 18 and 19.
Exactly. Yep. So we're losing all these draft picks, I think, for a few years.
It was Martin Hansel.
What a pull.
That was a disaster. It was a disaster.
Okay, if we got him for like a fourth, fifth,
if you had gotten him for four,
pick,
or
maybe.
4 years earlier.
Maybe when he was a little younger. But it's like we're trying to bolster a run for the Stanley Cup by giving up a top two picks.
Can't even get out of the first round.
Getting out of the first round. And we did that for like 4 or 5 years straight, I swear.
Well,
so,
again, it's Minnesota sports.
It is. So it's very fitting. So when I saw them make no moves, and I kind of actually like wanted them just for the fan aspect, like, oh, I can't wait to see Wild trade this or get this guy for this pick.
Well, people want tinkering.
They do. They always do. But I love it. It's almost, you know, it's almost like as a human, you want to see that. Mm-hmm. But it's like for Billy G to just like slow down and actually not do something. Like, I mean, okay, this guy's the real deal for not actually like giving anything up. He's confident and he's looking towards the, you know, maybe make, I mean, right now they're definitely, I would say, you know, close to being like a shoe-in for the playoffs.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, they're not going to fall.
There's just no way they're going to fall out of it. I think he's going to let it play out. I mean, teams make runs. Don't tweak it to a point where like, we're going to make the Stanley Cup run this year when you risk, you know, giving up, you know, potential of bringing Rossi with this team and all that, you know, because...
Well, if you take a look at the playoffs, too, the most likely opponent is going to be Vegas.
Yep.
And we've dominated Vegas. I mean...
Since they entered the league.
Yeah. Which is incredible, because Vegas, I mean, both of their goaltenders are phenomenal.
Yeah.
And Fleury and Leonard. And so for us to dominate them, it's going to be fun to watch. We'll see come playoff time with having... low, you know, not enough center depth, but they've overcome it, and so we'll see. As long as everybody stays healthy, that's a key, and having that decor that we have, it's, you know, that helps.
It's top notch. Yeah.
That helps top Cam notch. Talbot so much as well.
I mean, knock on wood, St. Louis does not catch them. The Wild can just consistently win some games here, because I'd be terrified to play Colorado in the first round.
No. You'll want Nathan McKinnon.
That's just a loss.
You'll have to play him in the second round, though.
Yeah.
But the thing is, I'd rather, after a series win, a little more comp. Well, I'd rather us just lose in the second round in general over than getting our asses kicked in
the first round. Right. Yeah.
You know, we have a shot to actually win a playoff series, I think, with the team we have against Vegas, and I want to see them actually get on.
Oh, we should have beat Vancouver last, you know, in the bubble. I mean, we are a lot better team than Vancouver.
Yeah.
Vancouver's having a horrible year, you know, this season. They're kind of screwed now with COVID, but, you know, we were so much more talented than them.
That was annoying.
You know, just the goaltending with Doobie, just that was a struggle. So, and now he's with Colorado. Yeah. So that would be interesting to see. You know, that he would only play if Grubauer gets hurt or is terrible in the playoff, you know, at the start. But that'd be interesting.
Yeah, I'm excited to see playoff hockey. And well, I mean, it usually is in May, but you never see the Wild. You can never say that the Wild are playing in May. It's, you never can say that. So because usually it means they're in the conference finals or close to the Stanley Cup. So it'll be fun. NHL playoffs are great. But sticking on the topic with the Wild, a big debate I've been hearing, you know, practically all season since Kaprizov has been going off, and he's a rookie. He is 23 years old compared to some rookies who are maybe 18, 19, or 20 years old. But he's still a rookie, and he's arguably probably one of the, or if right now stats wise, the best rookie in the league, 34 points right now. But the argument is that a 23-year-old shouldn't be the Calder winner, which the Calder Trophy is awarded to the best rookie.
Mm-hmm.
But they're saying he shouldn't win the Calder. I mean, is this stupid? Do you agree with it? Or is it
idiotic?
Or it's,
he 100% should be the Calder. Yeah. I mean, if you take a look at probably the two challengers, Tim Stutzel in Ottawa and then Jason Robertson in Dallas, they're on teams that aren't going to make the playoffs. They're on shitty teams. I mean, Kaprizov, what he is doing,
making a difference.
Him and Fiala have completely changed the Wild organization. Mm. I mean, what he is doing against, I mean, the other night when they played St. Louis and he went around Torrey Krug and just slammed home the puck past Binnington, one of the best goalies in the NHL. I mean, he's doing it against some of the top goalies in the NHL. He's scoring monster goals. I mean, he's not the biggest guy in the world, and there, you know, some guys are in the league are pushing him around. You see Drew Doughty get frustrated, Brent Burns. I mean, what he's doing is incredible. And just think, once they get more talent around him on the line, you know, right now, you know, he doesn't have the greatest line mates, and he's doing it pretty much all himself. And so, you know, just seeing his skating ability, that was another thing that people were worried about, or how is he going to translate from the KHL? And so just to watch him every time he has the puck, you know, it's incredible. He's, you know, he's just like Austin Matthews, Connor McDavid. It's must-see TV when he has the puck on his stick.
He just skates circles around people.
Yes. So this is a moronic take.
Yeah.
It's stupid if anyone thinks that he shouldn't base solely off his age. Yeah. If you want to talk about statistics, and even then, if you want to talk about statistics and impact to a team, as you just said, Alex, he has been the most valuable rookie. And if looking back at what other Calder winners it's only been the last 10-15 years where we've really seen this shift to pre-20-year-olds winning, under 20-year-olds winning this award. First, I mean, if you look back at history, over 25 of them, 24 or something of them, pre this new wave of younger guys, about half or so, maybe a third, were 23 or older.
Yep.
Who won the award. Mm-hmm. I mean, Panarin won it, 3 years ago?
Correct.
4 years ago? And he was 23
He came
or
over from Russia.
Yeah.
Same
what,
thing.
What are you going to say? Panarin didn't deserve that award? I mean, it's an
incredible
stupid
player.
Take. Yeah. It's his first year here. I mean, sure, you may have more experience because he played elsewhere, but that's
still
the same.
A rookie in
but
the
it's
league. The,
it's exactly. It's the same thing with juniors. Like, you go and play juniors, you go and play college. It's all the same stuff. So are we going to say these kids coming out of UMD and UND who are 22, 23 and could win the Calder next year? Mm-hmm. Are we just going to say no to them because they were playing college hockey?
Right.
It's the same thing.
I think people they're pissed off about
it. It's a professional league
in KHL, which I get it.
It's not the NHL, though.
But it's still different from the NHL. Yeah. NHL is still a different dynamic from the KHL. It's still a different game.
Look at Ichiro.
Exactly.
Yep.
I mean, what didn't
you
he
play a great league over in Japan?
Yep.
You have a great career. You come over here at a pretty older age, and then you end up winning not only Rookie of the Year, but also AL MVP all in the same year in 2001. Yeah. It happens. It's a great story. You're the best player that's a rookie.
Yeah.
That's the stipulation.
I mean, it's an incredible story. He's a fifth-round pick. I mean, and
he's a steal.
We were clamoring him for years, and now he's finally here.
It's worth it.
He's completely changed the organization, and it's going to be fun to watch him and Fiala grow. Yeah. I hope at some point they play on the same line. They find him a center, maybe Marco Rossi in between the two. And I mean, let's watch him for the next decade and lead us to the playoffs.
A lot of credit to the Wild organization for you and also the players on their own time utilizing velocity here in Minnesota. Some of the guys come into the brewery I work at that own that, and they say Fiala's in there, Kaprizov's in there, all these guys, they use the 3-on-3 ice sheet. It's much smaller to work on those skills. Those finesse skill sets, and I think it's paying off big time. I think it's great.
Yeah, and they got prospects coming up. Mm-hmm. I mean, they got Matt Boldy.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he's out, played for Boston College. He's really good.
He scored in his first AHL game. It's incredible.
He's playing in Iowa, and then I mean, goaltender Philip Lindbergh for UMass, who's just outstanding.
A rock, brick wall.
He's
incredible.
He's insane. And then they have a couple other guys that are in college, juniors, whatever, that I can't name all of them off the top of my head. But, I mean, they have just stellar prospects coming up that you're going to see playing here in the next year or two.
It's only going to get better with Billy G, too.
It's only, dude, he's
a great player. He's starting off as a great GM. It's exciting. We finally... have a team that to be excited about, and now that fans are going to be back in the building, hopefully they can get more for the playoffs. Yeah. I mean NFL playoffs are great, but there's nothing like the Stanley Cup playoff. I mean, it is so exciting. I mean, it's especially energetic. When you get in playoff overtime
thing.
I mean, it's incredible.
Dude, I'll do it for the NFL, obviously, but more for like a camaraderie aspect. Like, I'll be out drinking with friends. Like, Vikings, of course. Skol. Unfortunately, but no, I'll watch other playoff games other than my team, which is the Vikings, I think. But you're all drinking and stuff like that. But with Stanley Cup playoffs, it's almost like March Madness to me. Mm-hmm. I'll sit and watch other playoff games. Like, if the Wild are done, I'm like, I'm going to go to bed, or I'll maybe watch a period of this. I'll be invested the whole game. Like, and you feel that it sucked last year. It was still hockey in the bubble and all that, but like, you can feel the energy of the fans through the damn TV on those playoffs. Just like you see all their
pounding the glass, and
just,
you
can hear it. It's just
well, I mean,
so
even listening to a Twins game on the radio today, you know, it's great. You hear these kids going, sheesh, all game, and I'm like, I've missed this. Just the random noises and things
not
in the ballpark and the stadiums and
pumped in fake crowd noise. So.
We missed fans so much. Yeah, it's just,
I was at the Twins game yesterday before it got canceled, and I was like tearing up at the national anthem because I was like, oh my
that
God.
That was your first game.
First game back since the Twins. Right. First sporting event since everything got shut down. I'm like, I'm back. I'm back. Yes.
I think the first time I'm back at all the venues, I probably won't cry, but I might actually. Like, I mean, it's just, it's so... It's just it used to be kind of a normal thing in our life society to go to a game, but like just like I've had season tickets for Gopher football. If you can't tell, so far I am a Gopher fan, but
loafers.
But I've had season tickets since like TCF Bank Stadium, and just the first game I go back to that stadium when it's. Even if it's just half capacity, but hearing the fans get up and cheer on a third down, it's gonna be a little emotional. Like it's gonna be a little weird, and like going back to the first Wild game, and going back to Williams Arena for a Gopher basketball game, or you know going back to Target Field because I know I'm gonna get to a game this summer. We know 10K is gonna be there. We might be getting drunk, so tears might be flowing if we're getting a little drunk, emotional out there. But it's just I'm so glad fans are back, and hopefully however many fans it is, it plays plays a role in the playoffs, and we see that with the Wild, and hopefully Kaprizov can understand that he's the real deal, because I don't think he's being able to understand like how much hype there is around him with not having any fans.
He is the real deal.
Legit.
Yeah,
I mean, there's no ifs, ands, or buts about it.
No, there isn't.
He's legitimate.
He's just legitimate skating circles out there, bud. Dirty fucking Dangles, buddy. He's just out there.
I'm Dirty Dan.
I'm Dirty
No,
Dan.
I'm Dirty Dan. I'm Dirty
you
Carol.
You call him Pinhead.
Gosh. Well, I think that's enough talk around Minnesota sports and all that stuff. We'll see what happens, obviously, with A-Rod and all that. The Twins, hopefully they can keep going, and we'll see what the Wild can do with Kaprizov heading into the playoffs. And Billy G, we trust, I should say. So, but yeah, thanks for tuning in to another episode of the Minnesota Rundown. Of course, again, you can, any post related to this week's episode, there should be a poll attached to it. You can either vote for Alex Micheletti or Jack. If you're inclined,
if you don't vote for me, it's a hate crime.
Yeah, it is a hate crime. So, and
vote for Alex.
Vote for Alex. You just say vote for Alex. But if you don't want to vote and you want to keep it neutral and just like listening, that's totally fine as well. But you can find that on our Twitter at 10KTakesMN, and also find us on Facebook, Instagram, TikTok at 10KTakes. And you can also find her excellent blogs, as Jack Kiewicz here does write some great blogs. Great blogs for us at 10ktakesmn.com. So you can find all of her fantastic blogs there. But yeah, and if you want to listen to previous episodes of the Minnesota Rundown, wherever you listen to your favorite podcast, you can find all the episodes there and check out our other podcast, It's a Bit. We have a new podcast a new episode out this week, of course. The Zoom bit we did this week because curfew was applied, so we couldn't make it into the studio this week.
The curfew special.
The curfew special.
The curfew bit.
Curfew special, the Zoom special, the Zoom bit. So we went back to our roots of going back to our first episodes ever. If you go back on our YouTube, you can find our first ever sort of rundown episodes. Kind of a
do people want to do that?
Does that they might actually because they're very
they enjoy pain.
They're very funny, but they're actually kind of painful. But they're all over Zoom. It was crazy and Skype. That was a shit show.
Got to start somewhere.
I think
right?
Going back to like if I ever do my podcast long enough, I go back to those first ones and just be like, oh my God, what was I doing,
dude? It's the same way. Awful. I'm telling you, if you go, you can find we have some good shit on our YouTube. 10,000 takes. We have some of our full videos on there that we can't obviously post in full on our social media. But if you go back to our first videos, I think. They are old Minnesota Rundown, and they're very awkward, very weird, but you might get a laugh out of it. Grab some popcorn, and it might be a waste of your time, but it might not be. It could get a laugh out of it. We'll see what happens. But again, guys, I want to thank for Alex Micheletti for coming on again. Definitely have you. We'll definitely need to have you back on again.
I love it.
Our very own Jack Kiewicz, one of our bloggers. I'm, of course, JJ, Journalist Jake, your host. Thanks for listening to another episode of the Minnesota Rundown. Have a great week, everybody.